last night, I'm sure you're locked in on 101 ESPN as Chris Kerber, Joe Vitale, and Alex Ferrario broke down the Seattle expansion draft. And joining us right now to kind of have our his reaction on the Seattle Kraken and also the Blues is the voice of the Blues on the home of the Blues, 101 ESPN. Chris Kerber joins us via the Brown and Crouppen Celebrity Line. Kerbs, how'd it go last night?
Well, you know what? There was really no drama, and that was quite disappointing. I thought, all in all, you know, it's pretty cool to welcome a 32nd franchise into the National Hockey League. And honestly, I've never been to Seattle, so I can't wait to go this year.
Kerbs, it's a great place. I took the family there on vacation a couple years ago, and they were just starting the renovation project with that Key Arena is what it was called at the time, and now it's what, Climate Change Arena. So looking forward to some brewskis with you at the bar outside that arena next season. That'll be fun. But, hey, just wanted to talk to you about the developments of yesterday. I think it was widely expected that Vince Dunn was going to be the guy that got taken. I talked to Vince today. He said He had a great time here in St. Louis. Obviously, they won a Stanley Cup, and he looks forward to the opportunity to play with Seattle. How do you look at Vince Dunn's time here? And my specific question is, do you think he got enough opportunity to do what he could do?
I do think he did. First off, I think his time was great. You know, a second-round draft pick that develops into a player, helps your team, and plays a key role in winning you a Stanley Cup. You know, before the age of 25, I think you've done extremely well with that. I think that he did get some opportunity here. Now, I think at one point where he thought some doors were going to continue to open, for example, if you let Alex Pietrangelo walk via free agency, those doors were quickly shut with the trades and the signings of Falk and Krug. And I think that he realized then that key ice time that he was going to be getting was going to be going to the guys that they just paid $7 million to. So, number one, I think that he handled it really well. I think he did well with the ice time that he did. Look, he saved the season, I think, this year for the St. Louis Blues, the way he and Mike Hoffman, in my opinion, kind of got things clicking on their power play time together for a while there. So, I think it's been a great start to his career. I think he's going to get a fantastic opportunity out there, especially if Seattle keeps him, and I can't imagine why they would not keep him. So I think you're going to continue to see him grow, and it's the casualty of expansion. The Blues didn't give him up. They didn't get nothing for him. I mean, you're getting paid your share of a $650 million entry fee for the player that you lost, and, you know, would you have liked to have kept him? Yes, but, well, that's the cost of doing business right now. But all in all, I think Vince Dunn has had a terrific start to his career.
Vince Dunn, the 24-year-old defenseman, gets taken in the draft, goes to Seattle. The player who didn't get taken, Kerbs, we all know, Vladimir Tarasenko, he was exposed. A little bit of a mild surprise. Sources told me yesterday that Seattle had some interest trying to flip him, but Tarasenko does have that no-trade clause, which made things complicated. Look, I could ask you all kinds of questions about the Tarasenko situation, but I'm just going to throw it to you generally speaking. Where do you think this goes now?
Look, I said this last week. I said it last night, and I'll say it again now. I know Doug mentioned it today. It's not going to surprise me at all to see Vladimir Tarasenko start the season with the St. Louis Blues. And the reason I say that is, yes, while the player has requested a trade, he's still under contract for 2 years, and that really puts all the cards in Doug Armstrong's, you know, hat there. There's a bit of a message that was sent throughout the National Hockey League about this. Are there teams interested in Vladimir Tarasenko? Yes. But they're asking the Blues to either retain salary or maybe not offer as much as they would like. And you know that if there was a deal that was pretty close to what Doug Armstrong thought would be good for the Blues, he would have taken it by now, especially since he said that he's known since 2 days after the season that Vladimir would maybe like a change of pace. So the message that was sent, in my opinion, Jeremy and Anthony, is this. One, Doug Armstrong had a pretty solid window of opportunity to trade him. Those deals never came to fruition, for whatever the reason is. And one of the big reasons might be teams might say, let's wait till after the expansion draft so we don't have to worry about protecting him, right? But another message that was sent is the fact that Seattle could have had him for nothing and then get this player for nothing and then get whatever bounty is out there for him. And in a week and a half time, they weren't able to do that and get that figured out. So to me, that tells you where the market for his services is right now, and it may not be as high or valuable as he thinks that it might be. The best option for him may, in the end up being coming into St. Louis ready to play and have a terrific start to the season and show that you're healthy and prove that. So, flip side, I could also see him traded within 2 weeks or at the draft. But to me, the ball is definitely and the chips are in Doug Armstrong's court here and no one else's.
Chris Kerber joining us right now on the Fastlane on 101 ESPN. Maybe you just answered this, Kerbs, with your last statement there. But what ultimately do you think is best case scenario for the Blues in regards to Vladimir Tarasenko?
Best case scenario, in my belief, is if you do have a player that has stated he wants out, it's in your best interest to get them out. All right. But knowing how Doug Armstrong acts and works and stuff like that, I think he's got a lot of respect for Vladimir Tarasenko and what he's done here and what he could be done. So I just don't believe that it's totally unrepairable. But once a player has made that, it's going to take quite an individual to be able to walk in that locker room and say, I'm here, guys, and you're going to get my best. And so to me, what's in the best interest is moving him if the deal is there. To move this guy just to move him doesn't make sense. And Joe Vitale brought up a great example, albeit slightly different because the guy was on his entry-level contract, but Jonathan Drouin with the Tampa Bay Lightning. He wanted that trade. He, no, I'm not going to play for Tampa. Well, it was about a year in the process before they finally found a deal for him. And in the end, they got a good trade for him, and it's worked out for the Tampa Bay Lightning. The Buffalo Sabres find themselves in a real similar spot with Jack Eichel. You know, and if the deal's not right for Kevin Adams, you just got to get Jack Eichel healthy and playing again for you. And that's where I'm at with Vladimir Tarasenko on this one. I'm team-centric in this situation where I'm okay with a player saying I want out, but you've got to wait until the out makes sense for the team because you are under contract.
Kerbs, I'm with you. I think that Doug Armstrong is going to go at his own speed here, and he's going to pull the trigger on the Tarasenko trade whenever it makes the most sense. Obviously, you have a lot of fans, people watching the situation where, hey, get that thing done before free agency starts next Wednesday so you can get in on some of these talks with perhaps a Gabriel Landeskog. But you made a good point last night. We were on the show together. That you said, hey, look, they have $17 million in cap space. That allows you to go out and talk to some of those names, even the bigger names, and get a deal done and then kind of, you know, go massage the cap after the fact. So even if the Tarasenko trade doesn't happen for a couple weeks after free agency, they do have some wiggle room.
Well, no, that's true, Jeremy. And we also don't have to throw darts blindly at the dartboard here. We know how Doug Armstrong operates. He's been the general manager of this team now for 11 years. And the comments that he made today, you know, and he joined our organizational call to talk about it, too, after he met with the general media today. But he's looking at a situation where even if you're not in the market or maybe you're in the market and you guys just brought, you know, Giancarlo Stanton, for example, right? I mean, Cardinals were all in on him, and he said, no, thanks, I'm going to go to the Yankees. Even if the Blues go all in on a Landeskog or another free agent, you know, that's out there, it may not work out. They're still looking at a situation where the 22-year-old Robert Thomas could play center. Maybe you find the way to get Braden Schenn on the wing and make that work, you know. And if Vladimir Tarasenko ends up still here, you're talking about a Perron, a Kyrou, and a Tarasenko with an O'Reilly, Thomas, and Schenn rounding out your top six. So the Blues aren't in a desperate situation where the sky is falling right now when it comes to that. And as you mentioned, on top of that, you still have this $15 to $17 million in cap space to go after a player with an average annual value of $8 million plus another player or two to round out maybe a veteran D-man on this team too. They've got some real options even without the cap space on a Vladimir Tarasenko contract.
Kerbs, great stuff. Should be a very interesting offseason. One more question for you, though. I know that you were in Springfield recently. What about what was your take on watching the youngsters out there for the Blues?
The minor league team is going to be the Thunderbirds. They didn't get a chance to see them last year with COVID, but Kerbs are going to be in action this year, and so the Blues finally will have another minor league home. What's the landscape out there?
Yeah, that's a great point, Anthony, great, and a great timing on the topic, too, because That was a so there's five or six teams in the American Hockey League that are independently owned, not owned by an NHL team. Utica with Robert Esch was one of those teams. That's where the Blues partnered with Vancouver last season. They had the deal in place to go to Springfield and be the sole affiliate for the Thunderbirds last year, but because of COVID, because of the financial side of it, and they could not put fans in the building, Springfield decided not to play in the league last season. That was an option that they had. They're back at it. Actually, about a week ago, they pulled all their staff back, some of those that had been furloughed, so they're fully staffed again, and it's going to be good. It's a situation where you're playing in a division where you've got, you know, you've got Hartford and Bridgeport. You've got close by teams. You've got an airport 30 minutes away. So if fans want to go up to Springfield to watch them play, you jump on Southwest, you fly into Hartford, and you're literally a 25-minute drive from the Hartford airport into downtown Springfield. Players get a lot of extra practice time because you don't have as much travel there versus San Antonio or some of these other teams in the West. But they're really excited about this affiliation, which is a 4 or 5 year deal. And it's going to be great for the Blues because when the Blues have had control of the coaching staff and the talent that they're putting in there, that's when Berube got Barbashev and other guys, Vince Dunn and Binnington, on track. I think it's going to be a great thing. So that affiliation is up and running. They're back at it, and that will be where the Blues prospects go now for the next foreseeable future.
Excellent. Good stuff, Curbs. Appreciate it. Have yourself a good weekend, and we'll talk to you again soon, my man.
All right, guys. Have a great day.
All right, thanks. That's Chris Kerber, Voice of the Blues, right here on the Home of the Blues, 101 ESPN. We're getting an update here. Jer, have you ever played the lineup game?
I have not, but it sounds like you guys have a ton of fun with this every day.
You're about to, my man. Lineup game next on 101 ESPN.